How do I start this? Do I say hi to other people first?
I think you say hi first.
Well, you can say hi too.
Hi, every people.
And
hello,
hi.
I'm Vikram.
And I'm Rachel.
This is In the Grow.
Yes, it is. And I guess we're kind of piggybacking on our fall and winter gardening episode, but this is a little bit of a different focus. And we're going to talk about, I'm calling this Goodnight Garden.
Goodnight Garden.
That's
it's not a children's
book.
It is.
Apparently, there is a children's book called that.
Really?
Yeah, but it's more like, you know, Good Night Moon. It's not about winter stuff. It's, you
know.
Good
Night Moon is what I was thinking.
Okay, so there's a children's book called this, and there was also a PBS kids show called Good Night Garden.
This is great. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
It looks like it's the same as Good Night Moon, like the same, like.
Yeah, but not every sentence is like Good Night Moon or like, oh, the.
Yeah.
The bees and whatever did this throughout the day. And now.
Good night, bees.
Yes. Yeah.
Good night, bees. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Yes. That's nothing.
So, yeah, we talked about what you can do to keep growing through the winter. But there's also a main thing that I think, especially as Americans with this societal bootstrapping ideal that you're supposed to be productive all year round. But the winter is for renewal and. Mm-hmm. Rest and regeneration, right? And so, yes, you can keep growing, but this episode is more about like, we're putting your garden to bed for the winter. So good night, garden.
Good night. And I think that is important because I like how you say that, that we're sort of conditioned to do stuff all the time, nonstop, mm-hmm. without ever taking a break.
Right.
And I think that nature doesn't really do that.
No, nature is like, I have my own ideals and work ethic.
Yeah, nature takes plenty of breaks. Like there's a seasonality to gardening that we try our best to like impose our will on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see it in the way we eat and in the like what our shopping malls look. Not shopping malls is not what
the
I want.
The grocery store.
That's the food shopping malls, the grocery store.
That food is available year round of all types that normally would be. Or in the past would have been seasonal.
Right. Or not available regionally at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if you go buy citrus from the grocery store, like that is a novelty of the past 100-150 years in Lubbock, America. Right. Like in
is
this
it?
Part.
I don't know. I grew up in South Texas. I feel like limes and stuff were always year round available.
For sure. Like South Texas, there's always citrus because it grows down there. But up here we have, you could grow like a Japanese bitter orange, maybe, you know, if you're real lucky.
Yeah.
But outside of that, we don't really have any citrus. And so you have to think about like, we're already in our food patterns and the way we garden and the way, like we're already growing a lot of things that regionally probably wouldn't have been present, but definitely like seasonally. So when I was on the board for the downtown farmers market years ago, our rules were you had to grow whatever you were going to sell within, I think it was 50 or 100 miles of Lubbock, right?
Okay.
Had to be regional, local food. And our market would start like at the end of April or 1st of May. Like we would be closed through the winter because, I mean, it's a produce market. Like what do you grow here? So it would run like, you know, 1st of May through the end of October. And I remember every year on the first market of the season, people would be like, well, where's all the tomatoes? And I'm like, they're still in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like if you want, you can get tomatoes at the grocery store because they bring them in from South Texas and California and Mexico and South America. And, but like, if you want a local tomato, like you got to wait till late June in the fall. So I think when we think about gardening, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode is because I think we put so much time into like, well, how do you build a greenhouse? Like, what do we do? How do you keep your plants alive for longer?
Yeah, how do you extend your growing season? How do you grow all year? That kind of thing.
But like personally, in my home, like I'm going to put my garden to bed and I'm going to enjoy the few months of not having to think too much about it. And then in the spring, I'll pick it back up.
Exactly. And it's a great time for your garden to reset. And you're going to fertilize and compost in the spring before you start planting. But it's really important for your garden to have this downtime too, because it's a good time to amend the soil.
Sure.
And leave it alone.
Yeah.
Take a break yourself.
Just leave it alone. Have a nap.
Yeah.
Have a sleep.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. So I think, you know, at this time of year, stuff is starting to go dormant. It's early November now. At this point, we've already had a couple of freezes.
Like we did?
Yeah.
It froze?
Yeah.
When?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
It did?
Wednesday. Oh, yeah.
Like,
no. I'm talking like it's the future.
Like, so it's supposed to freeze over this weekend.
So as we record this, it's supposed to freeze this weekend and early next week.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have gone about that way. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I feel like it's not going to end up happening. Well, and when this episode comes out, you'll know whether it did or not.
People are going to be so confused. Yeah. So as of now, it looks like Sunday the 29th, it's supposed to be 30 degrees. And then 28, 27, 31.
Oh, wow. We're going to get down there. But this is the first time, and it's already almost November. And when this comes out, it will be early November.
Early November. And so at this point, like if you have things like tomatoes or peppers.
They're going to die.
Yeah.
Dang, that sucks because my pepper plant is just now like going off.
Oh, I know. And we were out in the garden earlier looking around and yeah, the tomatoes look good. They've come back from the dead.
Exactly.
The coleus and the sweet potato vine and all the stuff we've got out here looks fantastic. And then I'm going to come in Monday and it's going to be giant mounds of mush.
Yep.
And so like, I think a lot about this time of year because like our trees are about to start dropping leaves and that is part of their natural process, right? Yep. They have already started shutting their leaves off from the rest of the plant.
Yep.
So when the days get shorter, it gets cooler. You know, we start to see, well, we, in places where they have real fall, they start to see fall color. You know, we've got a little bit here.
Okay. I mean, again, I grew up in South Texas. So when I moved to Lubbock, I was like, oh my God, the leaves changed. They have fall. To me, there is fall here it didn't stay green or dead all year.
So we're seeing a little fall color. And if you've got things like Chinese pistache or, you know, the dreaded Bradford pear.
No,
like
fish tank.
The fish tree, yeah. Ugh. They do get nice fall color, though, I will say.
Okay.
They turn a pretty red in the fall.
Sure.
So do
the beautiful red oaks that don't stink.
You got me there. Mm. And again, Chinese pistache, maples.
That's pistachio for those of you that don't understand Vikram's lingo.
Pistachio, Chinese pistachio. They're called Chinese pistaches.
Are they?
Yeah.
But is it a pistachio? I can't even say that word.
It is. It is in the same genus.
Okay, but it is a pistache. I just thought you were being...
I didn't give it like a nickname.
Okay. I just thought you were being cutesy or whatever.
I like to give plants cool nicknames.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it does sound like something I would do.
He does do this.
I do this. It's yeah. True.
So I'm sorry. It is a pistache, like a mustache.
A mustache. Chinese. No.
What? Chinese pistache.
Chinese pistache. So you're seeing fall color, but that happens because the plant starts to try to put a barrier between the leaves and the rest of the plant. It doesn't want to spend the resources to maintain those leaves anymore, right? Because there's less sunlight, because there is less like going on. It's not producing as much food for the plant. So chlorophyll is expensive to make. It doesn't want to take the extra damage if that leaf is killed rather than if it goes ahead and starts to like shove the leaf off.
Yep.
Right. And so, like, it's going to rain leaves one of these days.
Very soon. Just did.
Depending on what your yard looks like today.
So this was a really long way to say, if you can, don't clean up those leaves.
That's where I was going. Yeah.
Is it? Sorry.
No, I'm not. Sort of.
Did I cut off your brain train?
No. No, I think the point I was trying to get to in a very long roundabout, excruciating way was that even the plants at this point have started to prepare for that.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying. Right. They're getting ready to go night-night.
Yeah. And again, because it's part of this natural seasonal process. So they'll drop leaves. Your tomatoes will turn into mush and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I was going to talk about leaves.
Yes. Go ahead.
Talk about leaves.
Let's
talk about leaves. So leave your leaves. Don't throw them away.
No. I mean, as long as you don't have like an HOA that's going to bother you.
That is like.
Because I think some people may have that issue.
They probably do. But
if you don't and you have cool neighbors, like just don't.
Yeah.
Just leave them.
And even if you do have, you know, an organized crime syndicate in your in your neighborhood.
Some people are not going to like that you said that.
You can cut that out if you
want. No, I'm leaving it in.
HOAs are like thinly veiled organized crime.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You don't have to like throw your leaves away.
Yeah.
Right. You could compost them. You could put them in bins. You could bag them and wait for the spring. You could mulch them
with your lawnmower. That's what I do because I'm lazy. I'm not raking those.
Yeah.
They're going to stay where they are. Yep. And they're going to be a nice blanket
Absolutely.
For my winter garden bed.
Yes. So you can run a lawnmower over them and either, you know, catch those shredded, mulched up leaves or just mow them over and mulch them into the grass, which in my opinion is actually better. It'll start to break down. It provides some extra cover for your turf.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them in the beds with your trees and your flowers and whatever else.
Yeah.
One thing that sometimes, the one caveat here is if you have a tree with really large leaves, so I'm thinking like a red oak or a bur oak or a mulberry or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
As they layer up, if they get wet, sometimes they'll stick together. And that doesn't let water through. Sometimes that doesn't let air through as well. So I like to, at some point, kind of take a rake and fluff them up a little bit, use a leaf blower and just sort of spread them out or mulch them in some way and then put them back into those beds.
Mm.
Again, it's great winter cover.
Yeah.
It is a really good way to add nutrients and maintain your landscape.
Yeah. It helps retain moisture. Like you said, they'll stick together, but the retaining of moisture can also be a good thing.
Right.
And it also prevents erosion and can suppress weeds.
Yeah.
And same with, I would say, weeds. Don't clean them up as long as they haven't seeded.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fine to leave those there.
Yes, correct.
Even when you're going in to cut your plants down or at the end of fall, instead of like ripping them out by the roots, just cut them down to the ground.
Yeah,
because
there's nothing wrong with
those
that.
Roots will decompose and again, add nutrients to your soil, help prevent erosion, suppress weeds.
All the stuff. You know, I like to think about, we've said before, I think, that your home landscape is like necessarily 100% an artificial landscape, right? Like you're not ever going to be completely natural in the way you manage your home landscape because they're not, and they're not really supposed to be. Like it's a different thing. However, if we think about like what these plants are going to do in nature and like what a natural environment is going to look like, yeah, there are going to be leaves there during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Those roots are going to stay in the ground. And all of those things are good for your soil, for your environment. It helps give beneficial insects places to overwinter and hide.
Yep. And birds.
And birds, right? That provides forage. Like with our sunflowers, we just cut them down and like throw them out in our windbreak here.
Yep.
And then birds get to eat them. And then we also get sunflowers that come up in spring.
And having the birds around during the winter is helpful too, because they will suppress weeds because they'll eat that because it's the only thing available. And
insects too.
Yes.
So like sometimes harmful insects will overwinter in leaf litter as well.
Like those dang aphids.
Aphids and squash bugs and all kinds of stuff. And as the birds forage around during the winter, they'll end up eating a lot of those. They'll eat the eggs. They'll eat the, you know, overwintering, you know, adults, if there are any in that species. So I think leaving, there's a fine line. If you've got disease, I will say the one thing that would make me probably clean something up is if I have like disease problems in the landscape. Because that will also overwinter sometimes in your leaf litter. But in general, like leave that stuff out there. No one's going around in nature and pulling all that stuff up.
Right. That was the caveat I had written down, is that you should remove diseased or sick plants, and to not add those to your compost.
Right.
Because although composting will kill a lot of bacteria and things, but it not necessarily with a diseased plant. Like that stuff can survive the composting process.
Sometimes it can.
Yeah.
If you can get it hot enough. If you're good enough at it.
Or, if you're a lazy composter like me, don't mess with it, because you don't want to risk ruining your compost.
No, I agree. And spreading more disease and weeds and things in your landscape.
Removing the diseased plants and things like that, what is your recommended disposal method?
I would bag them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't throw them directly into the dumpster. You can.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends a little bit what it is. But if it's like viral, if it's a fungus for sure, it's probably better to bag that material and then throw it away.
Okay.
You can.
Burning's not really an option in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
I was going to say some people will. I would say bag it and throw it away. Now you could just throw it in the dumpster, but you got to think that's going to end up somewhere. There's a chance it'll blow out of a truck into someone's yard. There's a chance that you'll build up disease, even in a landfill, which you don't want.
Mm.
That is one like rare specific condition where I would say, bag your stuff. Outside of that, like I think the more that microorganisms and insects and birds are able to like break it down over time, the better, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But there are some cases.
We want it to be natchy.
Yeah.
As much as we can in an unnatural
environment. Right. As much as we can.
Yeah.
This is all about making a good faith effort to do these things as well as possible. Like, we just do our best.
Yeah.
Like, we're never going to be perfect at this stuff.
But we are here to reiterate, just like how we take off December and January from doing the show, it's okay to take time off from your garden and just let it rest.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is, well, a couple of, well, what else do you have on your list? Do you have other things that
protect
you want to cover?
Protect your compost.
Protect your compost.
Because, you know, you, unless you're like piling it up super high, like you said, you got to do some things to kind of keep it from freezing or just keep adding to it. It can get cold.
Yeah.
You want it to stay hot.
Yeah. It can get cold. You know, some people will tarp it through the winter, cover it through the winter. I think turning it from time to time keeps that mixed up. If it's actively composting, it's producing its own heat.
Yeah.
So keep it wet, keep it turned. And then in general,
should be fine.
You should be fine. But if you're trying to like keep it sort of inactive through the winter, if you don't really want to mess with it, yeah, just throw a tarp over it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We can go to whatever you have left, because my points were just kind of like, you know, even indigenous cultures, in whether it's here or in the UK or in Europe, whatever, people have always recognized and honored the downtime of winter.
Yeah.
That this is a time for like rebirth, and that existential questions of dread during the darkest part of the year.
Yeah.
You know, like,
time for reflection.
You don't have to go that far, but, you know, take some time off.
Yeah.
Take a little rest.
Well, and on that note, I was also going to talk about, what do you do with your lawn? So for the most part, most people around here have Bermuda grass, right?
Bermuda.
Which is a warm season turf grass.
Unless you're real lucky and got like that nice fescue in a shady spot or whatever.
And even that will slow down a lot during the winter. Like, it won't go completely dormant. It'll stay green, but it won't be growing as actively. So you can dial back on mowing and watering and all those things.
Yeah.
But
again, your time to not do anything. I don't want to.
It sounds great.
I don't want to mow during the winter.
No,
you know,
who wants to do that? That's terrible.
No. Oh my God. It would be like 25 degrees and you're out there like, it's so cold.
No, thanks. But a lot of people will try to go out and cut their grass short.
Yeah. You called it scalping. Yeah.
So
I don't like that term.
Even just taking it real short in the winter, I think, is not a great idea, because your warm season grasses like Bermuda, buffalo grass, some of the others have varying degrees of cold tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And the more like canopy grass material you leave on there, the less likely they are to freeze out.
Hmm.
You'll get less winter kill.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is I'll take my mower out and I'll set it up as high as I can and still produce clippings, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I'll clean it up so it looks even, so it looks nice. And then I leave that material on there.
Mm-hmm.
I never scalp my lawn, but I will set my mower blade on like an inch or half an inch sometimes in the very early spring.
Mm-hmm.
But I leave that out there through the winter. Like, don't mow it real short, because you lose your frost protection.
Yeah. Do that later.
Yeah. Wait till spring. That can be a, you know, when we do our get ready for spring episode, that we'll talk
this
about.
It's your
that
spring there. Cleaning. Get out there and trim your yard hair. That's my new word for grass.
Yard hair. I like it. Give your yard hair a buzz cut.
Yeah. Get those clippers, AKA your mower.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the blow dryer is your leaf blower.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this.
The edger, you know, like a little buzzer edger.
Yeah. For like
that's
around
your weed
ears.
Eater. Yeah. That's your weed eater.
Yeah. I like it. What else? Trees.
Yeah.
Trees. Pruning. Is probably, so if you are just itching to do something this winter, if you really need a task, tree pruning is probably your task. It is a great idea to prune trees when they're dormant.
Oh, okay.
It does less damage. There's less disease pressure, those kinds of things.
So like after it's frozen.
So most trees.
<Wow. laughs> Sorry. After we've had a freeze, when it's low, like it doesn't matter if it's too cold.
No, you're not going to cause any damage. If they're dormant, I'm going to put a pin in that real quick, because if they're dormant, they're still doing some stuff. But once they're dormant, you don't really have to worry about causing too much damage. Like it's ideal to prune in the cool season.
Okay.
Now, most trees you could go ahead and start working on at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But for your oaks, we're still worried about oak wilt, which is a major tree disease in Texas. I like to tell people, wait till we've had two really hard freezes before you prune your oaks.
Because those bugs will definitely be dormant.
Yes. And it will also knock back any of the fungus that might be available out there.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, insects, they may not be bugs.
Right. They're beetles.
They're beetles. So those are bugs, beetles. Right?
No, they're not true bugs.
No.
They're beetles. I don't know. They're insects.
Whatever. This is Texas. We call insects bugs.
They're all bugs. So wait till we've had two or three really hard freezes. Then you can start working on your oaks. But everything else, as soon as it cools off, the leaves start dropping, I would say go for it.
Okay.
And then, you know, say same rules as normal apply, like prune for safety, prune for the health of the plant, and then prune for aesthetics last.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my decision tree. Is it in someone's way? Is it going to fall on a car or hurt somebody?
I know what I'm doing this winter, trimming the red oak out of my driveway. And I mean, like, I'm not even going to have to hire someone because it's like at my height level. Like, oh, wow. I could just go and clip it
just
off
clip
because
it.
It's just, it's got all these little young branches that are like, I'm just going to slap your car every time you drive out.
You try to get away.
Yeah.
No.
I'm surprised my dog doesn't like get smacked in the face because he always has his head out the window when we're getting out of the driveway, but he's like, oh, there's the tree.
Yeah, I'll back up.
Yeah.
What else? Ornamental grasses. So big, tall clump grasses, like your pampas grass or whatever.
Clump grasses.
That's what we call them.
That's your grass that's in a ponytail?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Just like your turf, I would wait till late winter to cut those back.
Okay.
Just let them be there. They're pretty through the winter. You get movement out of them.
Yeah.
They add interest.
Yeah. There you go. It's okay for your yard to be like barren during the winter.
But really, like there is a charm to a dormant landscape.
Yeah.
Especially because if you have a landscape that isn't dormant, and everyone else's is, it looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. if now I'll probably go out and put some pansies and cabbage and kale and some winter color, but mm-hmm. I'll do that in a few pots. Mm-hmm. It'll be fairly minimal. And then
I won't. So if you're like
Rachel's
me,
not going to.
That's cool.
She refuses.
Just more room for your holiday decorations.
That's true.
Just cover your lawn in inflatable snowmen and Santa Clauses and Rudolphs, whatever.
Just keep your Jack Skellington up.
Yeah, I was literally just about to say that. I was like, Skelly Man on Reddit. Just keep
put. If
keep
he's your, already up.
Yeah. Just put him in a Santa suit. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You were going to say the same thing.
I was too. So I think for the most part, yeah, if you want to mess with your trees, it's not a bad time to prune.
Mm-hmm.
If we get, I do recommend, and a lot of people will fight me on this.
Yeah.
I do recommend irrigating a little through the winter,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it can be like a half an inch a month, you mm-hmm. know, a quarter inch every now and then.
Yeah.
Because your trees are still taking up water.
Yes.
It's very, 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 very little.
Mm-hmm.
But they still do take up water.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a wet soil is better insulated than a dry soil. So if
yes.
we have a really huge cold snap, you'll get more winter kill if your soil is totally dry.
Yeah.
Now, we just picked up like an inch or two of rain over the past couple of weeks. I probably wouldn't water at all probably most of November.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we get like any sizable rain, a half inch or an inch, just let it go that month. Like that water's staying put for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have really windy days, if we get like a couple of warm weeks, if we go 6-8 weeks without any rainfall, I do recommend putting some water down.
Yeah.
Your turf's dormant, but your perennials are not totally dormant. They're
mm-hmm.
they're dormant, but they're still alive. They're still doing stuff.
Yeah.
So
do it right before we're going to get one of those hard freezes.
If it's going to be like 4 degrees for several days, go out and you know, saturate your lawn, but turn your sprinklers off after that, or you'll create a ice hazard and cause problems.
And you don't want to be irrigating under freezing.
No.
So, and by the way, PSA to everyone out there, we are still in a watering schedule.
Yes.
Like you can't just use your sprinkler whenever you want to. And I don't think a lot of people know that.
That's correct. Yeah.
Because you see people doing it all the time. There is a schedule and you can see it on the City of Lubbock website, what day your house number should use a sprinkler or not.
Yeah.
And what times.
Yeah. But outside of that, you know, water if you have to, try your best not to.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll keep getting a little bit of moisture. I've heard, you know, people say that it's supposed to be a cooler and wetter winter than normal. So we may get some snow. We may get some rain.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not too much sleet and ice apocalypses.
Snow is better. I'm all for snow because that'll just soak right in. Yeah.
A good rule of thumb, by the way, this is a random thing. 10 inches of wet snow is probably about an inch of rain.
Oh, wow. Okay. Stop rubbing your jacket. Because it's going to come through on the mic.
Sorry. I'm fidgeting today more than normal.
He's like, I got to go, Rachel.
No, I'm fine.
No, he's not.
I'm not.
He's twiddling his hands now because he can't. I've got
to do something with my hands. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I need
hands.
To bring him a. Okay, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
I need to bring him a fidget spinner.
You just hear. what were we talking about?
You just said that 10 inches of wet snow is about an inch of rain.
Yes. Ish.
In water.
Yes.
Because they're all water. Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
So yeah, that would be about the equivalent. But if we get a good heavy snow, that is, again, it's going to soak in slowly. It's really good.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
Take it easy this winter.
Yeah.
Just, again, have a nap.
Yes. Winter is your time to rest.
Drink some hot cocoa.
Yeah. And your garden's time to rest.
Yes.
And then be so excited when things start sprouting and blooming in the spring. Yes. When you see the little green tendrils coming up.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It just makes it more worth it, right?
I think so.
I do too. All right. Well, next time we have a very goofy episode for you. We're going to talk about the history of fruit pies. Although we're probably more just going to talk about
fruit. This,
yeah, fruit and fruit trees in America.
But who doesn't like a good pie?
Right? Right. So there is going to be some pie facts in there. I don't know why that made him laugh.
We're not talking about
3.14159. We're talking about dessert.
I'm going to have to redo all my research.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
This is awkward.
This just gave me an excuse to watch more British Bake Off because I like it. All right. Until next week, go bake a pie.
Yeah.
Have fun.
And don't do anything in your yard.
That's right. Perfect. Just leave your leaves. Yep. Bye.
Bye.